Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Today in the studio with me is Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
Steven Rue.
Hello.
And I am here in the host spot just for today. Destin is out to Canada getting, I think, some much-needed R&R.
Great White North.
The Great White North. Fran Mirabella, as many people still post in the comments, is no longer working at IGN, but he is here in spirit. We'll talk about some of those moments in our conversation today. On today's show, we are actually going to discuss a major reveal that is now in the game. Spoilers. Pulled pork. He messed up. Answering questions about triumphs, titles, defining hardcore versus casual, as well as some other comments that people had in the chat. And to cap it off, we'll take a quick look at some of our best Fireteam Chat moments in 2018. Right off the bat, I didn't know what was going on in this. I saw this, and I did not watch the episode that you guys talked about this already.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning.
So if you don't want to talk about or hear about it, skip ahead like
skip ahead just a few minutes. We won't focus on it too long. I didn't know. Now, I stayed in the dark. I was away for that episode, and I intentionally did not dive into what this was. And I'm glad I didn't, because I got a chance to watch it in-game as Steven was playing, and it was crazy for me. Riven in that moment where we were taking out Aldrin, he's now back because Pulled Pork revived him.
Mm-hmm. As his guardian.
What a mess up! What was that ghost thinking?
Well, technically he didn't know it was him.
I know, but that's the other crazy part. So Steven, give us a little synopsis of what happened in the trailer.
The ghost, Pulled Pork, which is a Grimoire card. The ghost is called Pulled Pork. He's been looking for his guardian for a really long time. The guardian's almost kind of feel bad for him. And
they feel bad for him?
Yeah, because he can't find a guardian.
Okay. That's fair.
That's
I know that.
Very distressing thing for ghosts that you can't find a guardian.
You know what's distressing? Watching him find Aldrin. That was distressing.
Yeah, so then
he rezzed
Aldrin. And yeah. Then
a lot now of Aldrin's things, a guardian.
I mean, we already talked about it earlier, but like there's a lot of things that could come from this. But he doesn't know he's Aldrin.
Yeah. So
or he doesn't know what he did.
Right. He has no
memories of his past
life.
Yeah.
So when I was watching that, a part of me obviously wished it was Cade. I did not think it was, but I don't know why I just didn't think of Aldrin. I think because of the way the story ended, we put Aldrin in the grave. There was no mention of him after that. I really, like, it did surprise me. I'm not sure what I was expecting or who I was expecting it to be. But the moment he sat up, and you were watching me as I thought.
Yeah, CJ was shocked. Right when I saw the ghost rezzing something or someone in the Dreaming City, I was like, oh, it's going to be Aldrin.
I just figured he would potentially be – like, I'm not sure what they would have done with him. I just – like, to see him sitting there in the middle, my brain was not thinking that was Aldrin. I'm not sure what they would have done with the body, right?
Well, we talked a little bit about it on the show, but I think this is actually – you know how when we finished the campaign the first time when Forsaken launched, we all kind of thought that the way Aldrin's story ended and the way we saw him kind of die, it being off camera and stuff, that we weren't really happy with that?
Yeah.
I said on the last episode or the episode where we talked about this leak that – them, Bungie bringing him back, I think it's a bold move, and I think, like, narratively, it's a twist that a lot of people didn't see coming, like you.
Yeah.
And I think it adds another level. Like, this is now potentially the third act of Uldren's story, which is really interesting. Because if they had left him where he was, like, in the grave, like, we see him die off camera, we don't even get to pull the trigger ourselves, like the end of Forsaken campaign. Like, that didn't seem like a fitting end to me. Yeah. Now, is this a fitting end? I don't know, because we got to see how it plays out, but it is certainly really interesting.
It is, because so my brain kept thinking, like, and Steve and I were talking a little bit about this off camera. I was obviously aware that, okay, he's not going to have any memories. I'm just like, Ikora's going to want to Nova Bomb him in the head, and everybody's going to, like, not like him being around when he shows up. But I did start thinking about our Guardian. Now, Steven, you were saying you didn't really agree or think much of this.
Yeah.
What I always think now, what were we doing before we got revived in the Cosmodrome?
Well, we don't know.
Exactly.
It's like one of the great mysteries of our Guardian's history, right?
It really is. And so there's not much detail, Grimoire, about that. And to me now, that is immediately where my mind went after seeing Uldren get revived.
I mean, that's one of the great things about Destiny is, like, the deeper you look into, like, the Grimoire and you start reading the lore behind the items and stuff, like, there's a great history and sort of meta narrative that exists, like, in the shadows of Destiny that is really, really interesting. And I've been diving a lot into it recently, just reading on, like, Destinypedia and stuff, because I've been doing title grinding. But there's so much out there that there's, I don't know, there's a wealth of stuff that you can dive into that's really interesting, and I think this is just one aspect of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was saying I don't think there's anything there in terms of us. Like, I think the reason why – I was telling CJ this. I think the reason why we don't talk or that we didn't have – like, we weren't a special figure before we were a Guardian was
We say a few words.
It's supposed to be us.
Yeah.
Like, literally us as the Guardian.
Totally.
So when we die, we were just like – I don't know. We probably got shot in the face by a Fallen or something.
Also, like, it wouldn't be all that interesting if we all Guardians had a similar backstory.
Yeah, that's what I was telling CJ. Yeah. The second they give us a backstory, it's no longer us. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why I don't think there's anything to it or any story there.
But it is cool that other Guardians have, like, backstories.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. Well, that's what I mean. I think that's what's weird is that we're this notorious Guardian, again, who kills these gods and takes out all these things, and we were just some random dude hanging out in the Cosmodrome, like, Fallen killed me.
Oh, that's the whole logo that has become Legend.
And I get that. And so, but it is cool to think about that could be a possibility. I actually agree with you. I don't think that they'll, like, you know, focus on our backstory.
Oh, you agree with me? Huh?
I do. I mean, come on, Steven. I can admit it when I think that you're right. I mean, Steven has proven correct a few times, Mr. Nostradamus over there. We'll talk about that later. But you also said something I think that was pretty unique about this situation, that if they actually did lean into some of these details, there was a cutscene from previous cutscene in D1.
There are a lot of old assets or old concept arts that have made it into Forsaken and Black Army and stuff like that. For instance, we got Thunderlord from a Fallen captain in the wall of the Cosmodrome. And if you remember in the very first gameplay reveal trailer, they kill the captain in that same area and he drops a Thunderlord like that. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, not specifically.
Yeah.
When they first showed off Destiny, it was in the Cosmodrome. It was the exact same mission as a Thunderlord mission that we got in Destiny 2.
And that's some of the reason why I think people wanted it to drop there versus going back.
Yeah.
Like,
so we got Thunderlord there. The raid boss, there's concept art of him a long time ago from D1. People were saying, oh, it'd be really cool if he was in D2 when he was the raid boss.
Mm.
Now there's a cutscene in the official Destiny gameplay reveal trailer where you are in the Cosmodrome and Uldren pulls a gun on you. And then he says, why is the entire city breathing down my back? He doesn't know why. It plays perfectly into what happened now.
Wait, this is from Destiny...
Destiny 1 before the game came out.
The very first
and things got cut, and I'm
And
I'm assuming that trailer or that cutscene with Uldren makes it in its way
so
in the game.
Is this like incredible foresight and meticulously detailed planning from the Bungie team, or were they like, hey, you know what would be cool?
Yeah.
If we went back.
Well, we aren't devs, but I'm sure they had all these crazy ideas and things didn't make it into the game, and then it made it into Forsaken, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of brings us to a little bit of the next topic is, I mean, Sean, you've been vocal about this. You're always saying, okay, maybe the story's you know, you want to see some of the stuff that was in the Grimoire cards. I think they've done a really good job of bringing that into Forsaken with this new UI and triumphs and lore and all that stuff in the game. Is this one of the greatest Destiny cutscene reveal moments in the game?
Ooh. I mean, I think it's good. Yeah. I don't think... I think maybe a little bit of its thunder was stolen from me because I saw the leak.
Right.
So I didn't.
But when
get to...
you saw the leak, were you like, "Oh snap"?
Yeah, I was really interested. I thought it was cool, man. I don't know how it ranks as far as like top Destiny moments or cutscenes for me. Like, I'd really have to go back and look at that stuff.
It's pretty high for me though, because I think a combination of just it caught me off guard. That was a thing that I don't know why I wasn't thinking that was Aldrin.
Are we talking about like in-game cutscenes or even like story trailers
well,
and stuff?
Yeah, like in-game cutscenes or even just something that was revealed that you're like, whoa, that was a pretty big moment. Like, something, I think that's up there.
Something that really rings high for me is the Rise of Iron stuff, just because I thought like the moment that Lord Saladin pulls out that giant flaming hammer.
Oh,
like,
and he runs at the Fallen?
Yeah. Yes. And the stuff with the wolves. I mean, look at the shirt that I'm wearing, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Like,
that is a good cutscene.
Thanks, man. Yeah, like, I love that one.
Favorite cutscene is when Cade fights the Scorn.
That is a really cool one.
That's also really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like, you get to see him blade barrage and.
Oh, I guess it is an in-game.
Stab a Scorn with his helmet.
In that first mission, the same sort of thing when Cade, like, he's like, we need to get to the bottom really quick. And then he, like, looks up.
Oh,
and then, like, it hard cuts to him, like, writing it down rodeo style, like, in slow motion. Like, that's such a great moment.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, so that was obviously pretty big reveal this week.
Well, here's a question. Where do you think this is going to, like, land? Like,
good question.
Where?
I mean, I think, you know, we obviously are looking at other future things coming up, like Penumbra and whatever the next, like, untitled DLC is after that. I don't think that this, because they really said that they're not going to lean much into story for these DLCs.
Yeah,
to me, if they do one more, again, which would be the equivalent of, like, Rise of Iron, that might be the, you know, the capping off of Destiny 2 if they do another big DLC in September next year.
You think we're going to wait till September to see Aldrin again? I don't, like,
I mean, not, I mean, so, not see him. Would, I think that there's a chance. Do you guys think Aldrin might show up in the tower in Cade's old spot, or do you think that will never happen?
I don't know. Like, I'm excited to see the Queen. Well, we have to wait 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
But that's when the Queen's going to come back, but I'm excited to see that. Like,
I'm excited to see how they weave it in. Like, yeah. I know that they've said that they're not. I know that Bungie said that they're not going to focus too much on story with this upcoming gameplay or with these upcoming updates, but, like, I think that you reveal a major story element like this, you let it play out in the universe kind of in a subtle way, right? Like, it would be really cool if this season of the whatever ended up being the finale of that kind of arc, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see just how this story plays out. I don't think it'll be... I think they've said that they're not going to focus on story stuff just to temper people's expectations. Like, people like me who want, you know, a six-hour campaign, narrative, linear. Like, I think they're saying that to, like...
Yeah.
Like, I think they're saying that so that people like me don't come, like, hope for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I do think that there will, like, that these kind of narrative threads will be, at least I hope they, you know, are sort of followed up on in Season of the Drifter and Season of the Redacted.
Yeah. These are the kind of things when they say surprise and delight that they're not putting in there, that, yeah, I think we're going to get off and on through it, and they'll just kind of drop them when they see fit sort of thing.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, now moving on real quick, we're going to talk just about a couple people's questions as well as what we're doing this week. The Third Forge just got released a little while ago. I haven't got a chance to make it there yet. There's been a lot of stuff. We're wrapping up the end of the year. Stephen, Sean, you guys both grinded, and did you get to the Forge yet or no, Sean?
I've done the first two. I haven't done the third one.
Okay, so Sean hasn't opened up.
Been busy doing something else.
I was going to say, we'll get to that, but Stephen, real quick, what's your take on the Third Forge? Obviously, I did watch some gameplay. It's a little bit bigger. It's
this is the Izanagi Forge?
Izanami,
yeah. Izanami. It seems like there's a little bit more strategic movement and play, I guess, if you have to be in different areas, but not
really.
Nothing
chucking
major,
balls,
right?
No,
yeah,
not really. I mean, like, the quest itself is a doozy.
Yeah,
like, oh my god, that took me a long time. Yeah. And you have to do so many heroic events, public events, you have to find lost sectors. It's a lot. And, like, I did it on all three characters for the second Forge and the first Forge. The second Forge, doing it on all three, took a lot out of me. I can't even, I don't even know if when I'm going to do it for all
second
three
Forge,
on this one.
Second Forge, the pre-quest?
Yes.
To unlock it? And that's the easy one.
I mean, it was easy, but it was still, like, tedious. This one, like, is, this one is actually longer than some of the campaigns of, like, the Warmind and stuff. Like,
oh man.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And Yeah, I mean, but like, so I wish it was account based.
So here, yeah, so that I think I've heard that a lot. Again, Destin, he's been in this weird position where he's been fairly salty about it, and yet he's still doing it. So it's funny because whether or not Destiny is the game, you know, he loves to hate or hates that he loves it secretly, he's still playing it, and he keeps saying, you know what, it still just really feels good to shoot things.
Yeah.
Well, we all agree about that.
And that's the thing. It does keep you playing.
Steph right? brought up something really interesting on Discord the other day, which is that, at least personally for him, and you can speak to this a bit better, I think, you said that you would much rather be doing this Forge-style mechanic where you can do the same things over and over again and the same activity over and over again to grind a specific weapon that have in your inventory rather than go into a strike and grind the same strike out and RNG pray to RNGs that you get the thing
like,
that you want.
I remember, like, when we would grind Grass Malik, you melt her, and then you like wipe and get. Oh no! Well, it was you melt her so fast before the final encounter, and then you wipe, and it takes you right in front of her, and you just keep doing it again. And I do remember it was exciting when you saw a purple engram draw, but it could have been Grass Malik or it could have been the Warlock Bond. And then you have to hope it's a 50-50 chance when you get the engram, and then you have to hope it's the right rolls. That grind, I don't think that's a good grind. Like this grind, you're doing it, you know what you're gonna get. You have a choice between two weapons. Like last week was sniper and hand cannon. Yeah, got the god roll for both.
I did not.
I got a snapshot sniper, which is pretty good, but Steven got a snapshot kill clip.
Yeah, but you get to choose which weapon you want to grind for. It's guaranteed, and now you're just solely grinding for the rolls, I think that's a good grind.
Yep.
Better for sure.
It is what Destiny is. It's funny, I mentioned in the comments last week to people let me know, Escalation Protocol, how many runs have you done? Do you guys know how many runs you've done? Steven, I know you've done tons of runs.
Yeah.
But the reason why I was salty, and some people are in the same boat, Steven got the Escalation Protocol shotgun on the first run.
Yeah.
Did you also get it on the first run?
On my very first completion of level 7 back in the day, I think it was with you guys.
I think you got the SMG.
I got the shotgun and the sniper on the same.
Worst.
Oh, two best ones. It was the worst. Everything can drop thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I got lucky, but I would have kept going if I didn't get it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're about to bring up. Actually, go ahead and bring it up.
Okay, well, so here, there's a couple of people in the comments who are kind of they were siding with me a little bit, but then they were also like, you know, 23 runs, bro. You know, get good. That's not a lot. There's some people. Crazy 161 is 43 runs, no EP shoddy. Spaztec 100 boss kills, no EP shoddy. Feels bad, man. Absolutely. 70 runs, 56 runs, 30 runs. 40 to 50, 23, you know, Click Kill Billy, Sophia, Dustron, Joseph Lee. There's a bunch of people in there who did it around that many times and got it, and so they were grinding. But there are first-timers as well. C-Sharp 57, John Collins, got it on their first completion, at which point in time Martin Drake jumped in. Yeah, I did it one time, and then I never did it again. And then a few, like, post down, Dan Sheridan, and we all hate you. Which is kind of like that's what that thing does in Destiny when you hear people's stories. It's like, oh, I did it the first time, got it. I did it like 100 times, like some of the people, and have not yet got it.
Yeah.
You know, it is one of those funny things how RNG works.
I mean, that's kind of what I wanted to weigh in on is like, why are we bringing this up? Because are we trying to like point out that RNG sucks for some people and it doesn't for others? Because like, yeah, I guess we know that, right?
We do
like,
know that. So
sometimes it's really good for you. Other times it's really not.
And right? When it's bad, sometimes, like maybe when it's attached to a title, let's talk about that.
What a good segue.
What a good segue. Sean Finnegan playing a lot of the content to grind for these new titles. Now, this was something for me that I thought once they showcased the lore tab and Destiny 2 turned into a collection game, I really enjoyed it. And it's kept me playing for some of that reason. Like, I do love the gameplay and all the rest of those things. You recently just unlocked what?
Yeah, so I finally unlocked my Dredgen title from
there.
And I was, while I've been on this grind for like the last 2 or 3 weeks or so, I've just been playing a ton of Gambit, and
only Gambit.
Yeah, it really takes a lot of Gambit.
Left the holiday party early.
I went home
to
early
go home.
Well, because I had to make sure that I had it for today's show. That was the big thing. Like, I did not want – Destin challenged me. He was like, you can't get it by the
– He did challenge you.
Yeah, he was like, you can't do it by the show. And
got him.
I have it. It's on
got him. There it is.
Check out my Twitter. Screenshot is on there.
Get good.
But it brought up a lot of really interesting things, which is like while I was on this grind, one, I was way more in tune with a lot of the sort of minor story elements that opened up the lore. And for me, that's a really big thing. So, for instance, I didn't ever really pay attention to the stuff that the Drifter said in sort of the pregame lobby, like when you're loaded in, but you're not like, you know, you're sitting across from the other team and whatnot. But he'll say really interesting things. Like there's this one where you get Fallen and he's like, no one hated the Fallen more than Saint 14. And then he goes, people say that he's dead, but I don't buy it. And I'm a Titan. I have that helm. And I'm like, wait. Saint 14 might still be around, and immediately I have to go to Destinypedia and like look up Saint 14 and see what happened and stuff, and that's really awesome to me. So that's really cool. But then it led into this discussion that we all had over lunch a few days ago, where we were talking about how titles are maybe one of the best decisions Bungie has made about what to put in the game, and then how they've implemented them is also really, really good.
Yeah,
because. One, they're
almost how they implement it.
Exactly. We'll do the caveat.
Yeah, we'll get into that, right? Yeah. So I can only speak. I haven't grinded for any of the other titles besides Dredgen, and I know that Dredgen of the titles is the least prone to RNG. Although some elements are still RNG based,
and like, Unbroken doesn't have much RNG either.
That's
right.
True. Yeah.
It takes a while to get, but
right. But what I like about it is one, it is a grind, right? It takes a lot of gambit, and you kind of can't be just losing, right? You got to be winning.
Yeah.
It's
faster if you win.
Way faster if you win. Well, also at the higher levels of your infamy rank, you don't get points for losing. So the only way to increase your infamy rank there is actually by completing the bounties, which are limited per week, right?
Yeah.
But the point is that I think titles are great because they're really exclusive, right? Because they're difficult to get. Not a lot of people have them. They display like externally so other people can have them.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. I remember like, the first time I saw someone in the tower with the title, and I was like, all right, I need to get a title.
Yeah, so that was the thing. Is
motivation.
Like, I had a buddy, like, he was like, hey, what is that Dredgen thing? And I was actually like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I had to go look it up. I chose Dredgen because it's the simplest one to get, which I don't think that makes it the easiest, but it is the simplest.
Just because it's the simplest to get doesn't mean it's easy. Like, none of them are easy to get.
None of them are easy to get.
It requires a crap ton of game.
Yeah, but Dredgen specifically is simple because all it requires is that you play a metric ton of Gambit. Like, that's all it really requires. Yeah.
And Gambit is a good game mode. Like, we always talk about how, you know, what makes game modes good or bad. I think Sleeper and obviously Skillbreaker. Oh Queensbreaker.
Dude, no one even, okay.
I need to go on a rant.
Skillbreaker to drop.
People got it in my when I posted about this on Twitter, people got in my mentions. They were like, it's so easy if you just like Sleeper team up. And I was like, dude, no one uses Sleeper anymore, but Queensbreaker.
I got Queensbreaker for the first time 2 days ago.
There you go.
And this was when Sean was still grinding Gambit. It's like, dirty. There's literally nothing for me to do in Gambit anymore except just
because you have the title. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the title and I've done all the other achievements for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, Sean, I'm gonna test this bad boy out. So you got Bungie, you got to do something about it. Yeah. You literally don't have to aim.
Yeah. I as someone who the only way you can counter it is to not fight it.
It was terrible. It was to the point where I was calling out my kills beforehand. They were like, before you take a shot, call it out. I was like, all right, I'm going to kill this guy. Kill.
Yep.
I'm going to kill this guy. Kill. It's terrible.
Here's the thing. The first time I actually never got killed with a headshot, I said to Steven, what's going on? Why is my screen all white? Because 9 times out of 10 when you get Queensbreaker.
No, 99
also blinds
times.
It blinds you and you don't
get.
If it doesn't kill you. But it's crazy. So I'm interested to see if that will stick around very long. Or, I mean, they nerfed the ammo. Yeah.
What's crazy is that. So they nerfed Sleeper because everyone in the world whined that it was imbalanced and it was breaking Gambit. But if you have Queensbreaker, it's no way. Like, Sleeper never even approached this level. Queensbreaker's so broken.
And the reason why no one complained about Queensbreaker before is not a lot of people had it. Everyone had Sleeper, but trust me.
Yeah.
Queensbreaker is the there's got to be a bug.
Like, it's aim it in a Guardian's general direction.
Aim at their knee. aim at their kneecap.
And hit them in the head.
No, you don't even need to aim. You can hit fire kneecap and it'll hit them in the head. Like,
it's crazy.
There were times where I was laughing out loud to myself. I know. Like, how was that a kill?
It is fun in like the most broken way fun, which is almost like what we said with Prometheus lens.
But again, everyone had, everyone had Prometheus lens,
yeah,
right? So that's the difference, right? Like that's balance, is everyone has it, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's broken, but like this is imbalanced because not a lot of people have it, right?
Yes.
And it's so easy to get kills.
Yeah.
The only way to fight against it, and when people are Queensbreakering, is that a verb? Yeah. It is now.
Skill breaking.
Skill breaking. You just hide. Like when you know that they invite, you just don't peek people. Yeah. That's the only way to fight against it.
So I did ironically get it about a week or two ago, and I got it in Gambit. And it just seems so wrong, but I'm enjoying it.
We went a little off topic here, but the titles, right? So I think that's awesome that they did. That they put in titles, and I hope that they put in more.
I hope they do as well.
Like, think about all of the really cool things that there are in Destiny for people to do and that people love to do, for which they might be able to earn a title, right?
Yeah.
Like, it would be so awesome.
And the RNG component is, I guess, what we want to focus on. Steven, real quick, what's your take on it? Because I think that in some ways it's good, but it does frustrate you if you get to the point where you earn up to that area of, you know, especially Dredgen, and you don't get the Ship of the Sparrow, and you're playing for a long, long period of time. And the reason why I brought up all the people who have potentially done the EP Shoddy Escalation Protocol, so like 100 and some matches and not getting that shotgun, that is painful.
I will say though, if you don't have the EP Shoddy or any of the EP weapons now, do it now, because they've added like a mechanic where you increase get an increased chance at the drop rate after a completion.
Is that into the symbols or the sorry, I'm blanking on what we call them. The titles. Is that mechanic in there?
You need all the weapons for Wayfarer.
No, but I mean, is the mechanic in there where the more you play, it's just totally
It's only
random.
For EP. If you want the EP Shoddy, play up to wave 7, kill the boss, and then you can actually start from wave 6 again. So that's faster. And then every time you don't get it, like it took you 5 tries, right?
That day, yeah, I was on like 17
day,
or something.
Yeah.
Or 16,
the people who said it took them 100 times, I guarantee you it's before they implemented that.
Right.
Like there's no way you can do it 100 times and not get it now.
So that was my thing, is like when it comes to the Dredgen title, like I maybe killed over like from beginning to end of the grind, I maybe killed 15 or 17 meatballs.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you have to play so much Gambit just to reset your Infamy rank 3 times to get that ghost.
Yeah, unless
there's no way you're not going to get the ship and the Sparrow through just regular playing of that. Type.
Unless you're just that bad and never kill it.
That's the thing is, unless you don't kill it, at which point, get good, right? Like, because I can see, yes, it is RNG whether or not you get the Servitor, and it is RNG whether or not it decides to drop.
Yeah.
What isn't RNG is if you can't kill him.
Yeah.
Like that is if you just suck.
But what if the entire other team has Queenbreaker Bow?
It probably does get harder over time though, for real. Because if people start getting way better weapons and start getting Queensbreaker, it becomes a little bit more difficult.
I mean, maybe, but here's the thing. I grinded Dredgen without Queensbreaker up until the very end when I got Queensbreaker, and then guess what? I actually don't use it because people just hide from me. I use Thousand Voices, which for me it allows me to hit people behind walls a lot.
Yeah,
or I can just like skim them, or like when people are depositing motes, you can just you can do like a diagonal move across it and hit all of them.
That's
it's really good. Thousand Voices might be the only heavy that's as good as Queensbreaker in Gambit.
But back to the RNG point.
Yeah.
For titles like Wayfarer, I don't mind. Wayfarer requires you to do a bunch of adventures on each planet, and you can only do that when it's the waypoint. You need to kill like a bunch of high value targets. There's a lot to do in Wayfarer, but there's also, you have to complete the associated badges for each thing. And like a badge requires you to get all the armor and weapon drops of that DLC. Like there's a badge for Curse of Osiris, badge for Warmind. For things like that, I don't mind. When there's RNG involved, because like Wayfarer, you know, when you see someone Wayfarer, they did all the Lost Sectors and all that, and they've got every single armor piece and weapon in a DLC. But when it comes to like Cursebreaker and Riven's Bane, like I just need the ship from the Shattered Shore for Cursebreaker, and I've done it on every character every time it's up. Don't have it. So that RNG is preventing me from being Cursebreaker. And then Riven's Bane, you need all the armor and all the weapons, which is fine, except for 1,000 voices, which is a low drop. I have 1,000 voices, but you also need the ship, the sparrow, and the ghost. I don't have the ghost or sparrow, and I've done Last Wish 32 times. That's all I need.
Wow.
When RNG affects titles like that, I don't think it should matter.
Yeah. I mean, so we talked a little bit about this because we were, I posted on Twitter and there were people going back in my mentions, but I don't think that it's the right to adjust RNG or remove RNG. The RNG rate or whatever Bungie's determined for these drops is what it is because they made a decision.
But it
right?
shouldn't be a title requirement.
But I do think that there's a problem when people are working towards something and they feel like something's preventing them from getting to where they want and it's something they can't control. That is a problem. So when you've done like Last Wish 32 times and you just haven't gotten it, like that feels like, okay, I'm now not in control of it. This RNG mechanic is preventing me from getting here. That can be frustrating. I can get. But like, what's the answer? I don't think taking RNG out or making it non-random is the answer.
So the answer, I think, is what's in Escalation Protocol, where, I mean, obviously they're keeping track of a lot of the stuff, like deep into the system of the game, where if you do X the amount of runs, it should, become easier.
Progressively increase your chance.
Yeah. And I think if they did something like that, you obviously, if you had super bad luck, you'd get to the point where, I mean, if you do run it, like you said, 60, 70 times and you don't get it, like that's going to be annoying. At some point in time, it's going to – I mean, that's Destiny's biggest problem is that you get to the point where you don't care. So there needs to be a time where it feels approachable and yet difficult.
Yeah.
But you can't get to the point where you're like, you know what? I don't care about this anymore. And so then you don't do it.
I do agree. You don't want to get to that point. But I do disagree with that it should be easier. Like you should get a higher chance at – a Gjallarhorn the more times you do something. Like I don't mind that that 1,000 voices and the Sparrow and the Ghost are such low drop rates. What I do mind is that I need this title because of that. If they just took out the RNG, like the collection part, for instance, like people should be saying like I am a flawless runaway from being Riven's Bane. Like
yes,
that
like
isn't a
more
obtainable
yes.
thing because you don't you can do the raid whenever and try to go flawless.
Yeah.
I've already done all that. I just need the Ghost and Sparrow. And since I've done it on all three characters, I got to wait till Tuesday. That's not. And when I do finally get the Ghost and Sparrow, I'm not going to feel achieved, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, I got lucky,
I
think they should just take the collections part out of it.
So we got to move on. But I think, you're coming at it, Steven, from a, not only I would say fairly hardcore player, but somebody who plays the game an awful lot. And because there's a lot of people who are in the comments who disagree with your Xur approach too. They're like, you know what? I kind of like Xur. He was there to give me some exotics that I didn't get, especially if you look back at D1, eventually like Xur ended up selling Icebreaker and Gjallarhorn. Because if you played the game for a year plus and never got those things, that was frustrating. Like, well, I'm not saying they should introduce exotics right off the bat in Forsaken. I think it's good. But after a while, okay, come on, like.
But that's in terms of collection. This is in terms of obtaining a title.
A title. No?
Yes.
I hear that. So let's move on real quick to a couple other things that people have discussed. And we've gotten into this conversation a number of times, and we often refer to casual and hardcore. And how do you define that person? And we often go just two categories, which I think, especially for Destiny 2, is not really accurate. I can't believe I'm saying this. Not hardcore anymore. Life, family, wife, kids. Don't ever say that I wasn't hardcore, Steven. I already knew where your brain was going. But it is one of those things where,
is that where your brain was
going? Yeah, I know. I know how Steven works. I got him here. I understand. Oh, CJ, you're too old. But it is one of those things where we often say that, and there's a lot of people who message me and they say, hey, when you say hardcore, I play the game 8 hours a week. I don't do raids. I don't do strikes. I just grind out PvP. What category am I in?
That's why I don't like only having two boats. Like
exactly.
It's not that black and white.
It's not. And I think
it's
like,
also not just tied to time.
Like, no, it's not. And so that's what, like, let's kind of define this a little bit, because when I say hardcore, I think, you know, somebody who not only maybe understands Destiny, they might not need to play every activity, but they have at least attempted every activity, whether it's Trials, the Raid, PvP, any of those things. And they've experienced enough of it where they can, like, form a basis for, you know, being able to compete in the PvP space or the PvE space and understand, like, you know, what Destiny has to offer. But having said that, that is a category that – often, I don't think it fits the bill. There's a lot of different players out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, a term Duggan likes to use is, what was it? A modern core, where it talks
modern
about
modern court.
Yeah, he says it a lot. Where it talks about the person who maybe invests a lot
actually
of time.
From an internal study.
Well, I know, but that's my point. Like he uses it
that
a lot.
We've done of our audience.
Yeah, but that's the yeah. thing. Like where it's the person who is like everybody in the Fireteam chat comments who comes and wants to be involved with the game and know about the game. Maybe they don't play it the same way we do, or only play PvP but don't raid, or only play PvP. It's interesting. How do you guys actually categorize, and what third category or fourth category would you say there should be when we talk about, you know, we shouldn't cater to casuals, or we shouldn't. You know, we should focus more on the hardcore because we really do lump people into two categories.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. I do because so my there's... answer is very simple.
Get good or get bad.
we know, Sean, already.
There should be three categories. Like it's silly to be casual or hardcore. I'm like, if you're watching this podcast, 99% of the time you're going to consider yourself a hardcore Destiny player.
Yep.
Right.
Like, I mean, we have seen a lot of comments though from people who are like, I watch the show, but I don't play the game.
That's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. But if you still play the game and you watch the show every week, I'd like.
Or people feel like they're casual because of life things. Yeah. And I fall into that category.
So there's,
I make jokes that I neglect my family and children all the time. I love my wife.
There's three categories in my opinion. There's the casuals that literally just pick up Destiny, play through the campaign, don't even attempt the raid, maybe play PvP a couple times. They probably haven't even done every strike in the game, and they don't even get to the end game content. They finish the story, they kind of understand what's going on, and then they move on to the next game like Red Dead or whatever. That's what I consider a casual. Then there's a second base, let's call it devoted Destiny fan. And I think that's devoted where Destiny the majority fan. Of players lie.
Yep.
And what that is you play every week. You know everything about Destiny. You've attempted a raid or know about the raids. You know all the strikes. You know all the weapons. Like, you have a huge information and knowledge of Destiny. You might not just have a fire team to complete such activities or things like that, but you follow Destiny. You play the DLC every time. Like, sometimes there's people with jobs and families. Like, you just can't do everything. But that does not make you a casual player.
Yeah.
You're still a devoted Destiny player. And I consider the majority of players in that category.
Yeah. What would you say percentage wise? Like just throw a number out there. Cause I feel
if you took 100,
like a bell curve.
If you took 100 Destiny players, I would say 40 of them are casual. 55 of them are in this category, like devoted, and then 5 of them are actually hardcore.
Yeah.
And when I mean hardcore, you're a completionist, you have 3 characters, you do everything. You've completed everything, you are a master and of all aspects of Destiny. You know what each role drops at, you know how to do the thing the most efficiently, fastest way possible.
Man, this is a high bar, man.
Yeah.
And that's what I consider hardcore. Like in Destiny 1, if you have 3 characters, you have max Grimoire score. You're chasing everything. That to me is what a hardcore player is. Everything else is just a very, very devoted fan base.
Yeah.
So when people consider themselves hardcore and they have like, I don't know, they've never done the raid or anything, that doesn't take away from you as a player. But I think when we should establish hardcore players as people who are like at the very top of the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Now, we don't got too much time, so I mean.
Oh, really? Because I was going to go off on a rant.
Well,
here.
I know. But
15
but,
minutes.
But you do that, so.
I don't.
Mini rant.
I'm very concise about these things. I don't know that I can sit here and, like, decide what is hardcore and what is casual.
Yeah.
But I know that I know a hardcore player when I see it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
You can, I don't need to know anything about what Teddy has done in the game to talk to that guy for 5 minutes and know he's hardcore about the game.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
Absolutely. Like, it's just something I know. I feel it, right?
Yeah.
And
feels it.
I don't. What I disagree with you, Steven, is it's like when someone tells me I'm a hardcore player, but I've never done the raid or I've never gone flawless, I think that does take away from it because to me, a person who is hardcore about the game is, regardless of what they've achieved and what they haven't or what they're like, life work balance is like a hardcore player is someone who's always trying to push forward and attain something and try and be the top level of something, whatever it is, right?
That's why I put them in the third category.
So like great example of someone who I think is hardcore about this game, Brian Malkowitz, right?
Yeah.
Brian Malkowitz has not gone flawless. He doesn't have any titles. He's done the raid less than you
a couple times,
and more than me. You
right
and
now.
Me,
yeah.
Like the new raid.
Well, because he's a PVE strike.
Yeah, so, exactly. He's a PVE guy. He loves the PVE stuff, but that dude knows everything. So I know when I talk to him that he's a hardcore player, but I can't sit here and be like, well, if you're not hardcore, if you have or haven't done the raid, or have or haven't gotten flawless, or have a higher than 1.0 KD, but like all of those things in some way do factor into whether or not I think you're a hardcore player. And when I sit here on this show and talk about hardcore versus casual, try to understand that I'm not rendering a judgment on you specifically, because I don't know what you do, or I've never talked to you for the most part. I've only seen your comments like in my Twitter or on the comments section in YouTube.
They're so nice. Always.
Always, yeah. But the point is that like I don't think that when we talk about how mechanics should be balanced versus hardcore versus casuals, that it is necessarily a discussion about like who is hardcore and who isn't. It's more philosophical discussion about what type of player should Bungie be balancing things for.
And that's the reason why I wanted to bring it up, because I think when we say hardcore player, Steven's right. Like, I think this is a very small, small percentage. And what I would say there's a bigger percentage of, and that's probably what they try to balance for, and obviously want to engage a bunch of people, there's a bunch of devoted Destiny fans. And if you would incorporate them within the hardcore, because they're the ones following the game and obviously want to take part in all the different activities, or you know enough maybe about certain things, whether it's PvE or PvP. Yeah, I think when we say casual, we don't really label the people who just play the campaign and then leave casual. But that's what those people feel like, I think, right? Like, they feel like, oh, I don't have the time, or I'm not playing as much, and I don't have a crew and I don't raid, so that makes me casual. There's a lot of people, I think, who are still like, a bunch of people reply to me saying, I'm light level 650, I haven't done the raid, I play every week, 5 days a week, I play tons of PvE, I play tons of PvP.
Yeah, but I put them in that second category.
Yeah, but then like, it's like us saying that the game shouldn't be balanced towards casuals, or me saying that specifically, shouldn't. If you're that player, it shouldn't ruffle your feathers.
Right, but that's the reason I think it's interesting that we kind of like lump throw them into two piles, because I think that's a mistake probably that – I mean, everybody labels somebody something, but I think those two categories, like casual, hardcore, the percentages are not even remotely able to be comparable.
I'm really not interested in labels. I'm also not interested in percentages. Like,
no.
I know it when I see it. Like,
yeah. But it is interesting.
Like, it's like, if I need to know something about the game, CJ, I'm not going to go to you. I'm going to go to Steven, or I'm going to go to Teddy. Like, because they're hardcore.
The same way.
But do I sit here and be like, well, hardcore Steven, this category?
Yeah. Okay.
No.
So
like,
you just labeled me a casual, and that's fine. But my point is, I wouldn't go to you either.
No. You don't. See, that's the thing is, I'm very open about what I don't know about this game, which is a lot. I don't know much about the game's lore or the drop rates or anything. Like, I ask these questions all the time.
Yeah.
But when it comes to playing, I would say I'm very hardcore. I would not lose to a lot of people.
Basically, it's not black and white.
But that's the thing.
It's not black and white.
That's what's interesting. I think you think you're hardcore in your definition for you. But you don't think I'm hardcore because PvE is a different, space than PvP, and whether or not you play it and how you play it, there is different. I mean, I have probably like 200 or 300 more hours than you in Destiny 2, and then in Destiny 1, I think I have almost like 2,000.
Of everyone, for clarity, I have the least hours of anyone on Fireteam.
Yeah.
Like Brian C Team Malkowitz included.
Has way more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, that's why I don't think it's mattered to play. It's not.
I don't think
the factors
in playtime at all.
Yeah, like you can play a metric ton and be a noob. Like,
you heard it here. Future Sean versus CJ episode coming up in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It's PvP. We'll do it.
But like, I wouldn't say you're casual though.
I'm in the middle that Steven talks about. Honestly, a lot of life stuff for me, and it sucks because I've been in this position where I've been traveling for work and doing a bunch of other stuff. I am now officially here for 3 more years. Had a visa approved, so that's good. But yeah,
damn,
exactly.
But couldn't life, get rid of you.
We almost got rid of
it. Canada, here to stay. But yeah, it's an interesting topic that I think a lot of people have talked about.
I don't think anyone that watches the show is a casual.
Me either.
I think a lot
of those people are the devoted Destiny fan or hardcore.
The casuals.
Most people, but that's what I mean. A lot of
casuals are the ones that come into the comments and say, do people still play this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And we have a lot of good people in the Fireteam chat comments, I will say. Okay, let's move on to the last couple things. Bit of a longer episode this week, but it's the last one, so thought we'd do that for everybody. Real quick, talk about PvP, Steven, with me. What do you think the state of PvP is?
Ooh, Jimbo, this should be good.
Well, this is a good
yeah,
one.
Jimbo is basically saying, you know, what could they do? I've also, you know, been a good boy this year, so I just really want Trials to return in 2019 with a Destiny 1 flavor. But I think for the most part, we were saying this, that if you are a fan of the current meta of PvP, which is like shotguns, you know, even fusion rifles, which are awesome. And I'm not talking Queensbreaker and those, you know, sleeper. I'm talking about like regular fusion rifles. It's really good, but there are some things I think that people now feel a little bit soured with, and I don't know how they continuously balance the meta, but I'm liking it right now. So I play a lot of PvP. I'm chasing. I almost have Broadsword. I almost have Not Forgotten and Luna's Howl. And those are things I just need to get to Legend and a bunch of those things.
When are you getting that Unbroken title?
I mean, the problem is I needed to get some of those things. And I personally, for Unbroken, I'm not super excited that you have to get multiple seasons of it, because now I'm behind because I wasn't able to get to...
Yeah, three seasons minimum.
Yeah, three seasons
minimum. It is three seasons, yeah.
Yeah. But I appreciate what that grind is. But I wish that you could potentially grind tons of it in a season if you wanted to and get it. So not excited about that, but I do appreciate that title's there. What's your take on PvP right now? How are you feeling about it?
I like PvP a lot better than it was year one.
Yep.
However, the PvE is so good now that I just can't get myself away from PvE. In Destiny 1, I was a huge PvP guy.
Yeah.
The PvE in Destiny 1 was not that great.
There wasn't much
to do. Let's be honest. There wasn't anything to do, so I only played PvP. I enjoy the PvP now, but the problem is I've noticed this about myself. I want to work for something, work toward for something. And PvP, to me, I feel like I'm not working toward anything except in comp. But I don't enjoy playing comp unless I have my dudes with me.
Yeah.
Because I know they're all fantastic players. And everyone in that playlist is going to be very good players themselves. So, like, I want to put myself in a position to win. But if you're solo queuing, it's almost impossible. It's not impossible. It's almost impossible to get some of these weapons.
Yeah.
Like I know a lot of people got Luna's Howl by themselves. Congratulations. Shout out to them. But it's almost impossible to get Not Forgotten, because then it's tied into winning games.
Yeah.
So that alone, like,
and over not multiple seasons. You get in a season, but it's super difficult.
I don't like Countdown. I don't really like Survival.
I don't like Countdown either, or Survival.
Just the playlist itself. The whole comp playlist, I'm just not open, like, very warm to it. So,
I mean, you like it better now that it's got Control and Clash in it, though.
Yeah, and I will say, I do think people are overreacting at how bad grenade launchers are in the game, because statistically, they showed, like, people still use shotguns and hand cannons and pulse rifles more, but it's still not a fun feeling to get one shot by a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. I think grenade launchers kind of ruin the game. There's also the time scaling problem on PC.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know how much you guys have run into it, but it is not fun running into four Titans that are all time scaling macroing. They can get from one spawn to the other instantly. They got one-eyed mask. It's
one-eyed mask is really OP. I have it. It's so good.
PvP is fun, but for me, PvE is more fun right now.
Gotcha. What's your take?
I mean, I haven't been playing a lot of Crucible or competitive at all.
Getting that Gambit grind.
I'll do the weeklies and stuff, and I would consider myself a pretty strong player, but I haven't really grinded for any of the top stuff. I don't know why. Yeah. But
you got to get that Now for Gone. Oh,
yeah,
really?
So good. Yeah, I will say, though, the heavy ammo changes that they recently implemented does make it a lot better.
It does.
Before you get heavy every, like, 40 seconds, it was terrible.
It's good.
That was a better change, because I definitely think, like, it would be really it always sucked when you start a match and then, like, in the first 15 seconds you get heavy and you're like, wait, they already have the heavy? Like, it spawns all the time. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
That said, I want Destiny's PvP to keep the interesting things about it. Like, I don't think shotguns are that broken. I don't think here's an interesting thing. Grenade launchers shouldn't one shot if sticky grenades can't one shot. So let's address that, right? I think,
please don't.
Not magnetism grenades. Yeah.
Talk
not
about
like
that
D1.
More. Just
not
like demagnetize them a little bit. But I think it's in a pretty good state. Where I'm at with Steven is that there's nothing that I'm actively working towards that I think is, like, really gives me a great sense of accomplishment.
Except those pinnacle weapons, but you have to play comp for it, and I don't like comp.
But even then is, like, yeah, I recognize Lunas Howl and Broadsword are really, really good, but are they that much better than what I have right now? Because most of the time—
I will say Nofragon is that much better. Yes. Nofragon is.
Okay, because most of the time I don't feel myself losing to these things. Like,
not yet. They're not out in the wild very much yet, but when you play against somebody and you get hit, you get killed by Nofragon one time, you remember who that player is, and if you're going up against them with an Ace of Spades or something else, you know that, oh, this might be a fight that I will lose. Mm. You start feeling that, especially in comp, because people are grinding those things, like so many precision headshots and so many like hand cannon kills. You actually feel the difference. Like, I was playing it with Steven and I tried his account. It's like, you know, it is one of those things. That's a reason why I want to grind for it. So I've been paying attention to those things. Like the way you've been doing Gambit, I've been trying to do those to get the Crucible.
Yeah, I mean, like, overall, I feel like it's in a pretty good state, but they need to do with PvP what they did with PvE in Forsaken, which is like give people
a bunch of things.
A bunch of different ways to achieve something that is worth having. And then with that thing, whatever it is that's worth having, whether it's a title or a weapon or whatever, like if it can display externally so that people know you have it. Yeah. I know for me personally, that's like a huge thing. It was like, I would not really care about the title at all if it didn't show other people that I had it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. No, it's
really,
no, that's
like,
true.
Yeah.
Totally. That's 100% true.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. And it's weird, even like we're talking about the post game screen and all the other things. I understand them wanting to eliminate the salt, but it is one of those things when I look back at Destiny 1, you could see your kills and you could see your deaths and you could see how much damage and all that other stuff. And there was like,
well, you can still see kills.
You
not
can,
the loot,
but it's
though.
KDA,
well,
KDA, right? KDA, so yeah. That's the thing. Like, I understand why there's this like perception of, oh, you did good because you contributed to the team.
Oh, you hit
like,
him once.
Well, how many kills did I really get? And it's not a bad thing that it's there, but in some of those competitive game modes, you want to know those details.
Yeah, in competitive, exactly. Yeah. If competitive is one, if you want to live up to the word, the name competitive, yeah, I think you got to be able to give hardcore players hardcore stats.
Because the data is there. It's there in a bunch of other external
plus
apps
like
and stuff like that.
Players who are hardcore about comp or they're competitive players, they're going to want to look at that data so that they can improve.
Get better.
So they can look at it and be like, oh, it turns out I'm killing a lot of people, but I'm also dying a lot.
Speaking of
so
data.
I gotta curb how many times I die, you know? Yeah.
Speaking of data, I would love to see I would love to see DPS damage in raids without having to wipe.
Right. Yeah. At the end or at the end of an encounter. Because
you got to call out the guy at the boss.
Yeah. Also,
that's why they
still
don't do it.
Isn't it still the case where, like, if you complete the boss, you don't get the score screen at all?
Yeah, you have to wipe to see that screen.
Yeah.
And,
like, come on.
I want to finish the boss, pull up the tab and see the damage.
Here's your episodic reference. In World of Warcraft, anytime there's a raid, there's literally a damage meter on screen that's active during the fight. So you can see, like, it's a race. Like, all the DPS people are, and all the healing, because it's also a healing meter, all the DPS people are trying to out-DPS all the other DPS.
Yeah.
And it creates a friendly competition. Like, oh, in your raid, in your clan or in your guild, who is the top DPS person? Like, who is everyone chasing? This guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is fun. That is cool. And that sets, like, that just gives people a greater sense of achievement when they finally get to that level in the game. You don't even have to change anything except for your menu.
Maybe maybe Destiny 3.
Maybe.
Oh, man.
I appreciate that we got one more in there for 2018. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
More to come in 2019.
Going to move on to the next topic. This one's a little bit of a wrap-up. It's crazy when you look back at 2018. We had a bunch of different things happen in Destiny. Obviously, Warmind got into there. That was a pretty good update, but, you know, Forsaken really, you know, took Destiny in a really good direction. We're all enjoying it and still playing it. You know, obviously Black Armory is coming in. People are a little bit mixed, but I'm interested to see what happens in 2019.
People are very mixed.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens in 2019. Some of our biggest moments, we'll go through the top three here. These are just picked by me, so no science to this.
CJ's top
three. I was like, hey,
CJ's
I'm hosting the show,
moments.
So my top three. I think probably one of the top three within the context of Destiny and the game itself was the E3 reveal that Kay died. Steven, you know, you kind of pre-called it. You were on one of the shows. And you're like, you know, wouldn't it be kind of weird if Cade had died? I mean, I would feel something then. And then we're like, no, don't do that. That would be bad. Cade is amazing.
I love Cade, but if he died, everyone would be like, holy crap, he died.
Yeah.
And they don't do that.
Don't kill Cade. That's not what he's saying.
Don't kill Cade, but make us feel something.
But yeah, I mean, so just real quick, talk about the moment. Where were you guys when you actually heard it?
I was working at E3. We were all working at E3.
Yeah, but where were you? Like, I remember like where I was.
I was in the IGN war room. PSX was on.
Yeah.
I heard that they're going to do something Destiny related, but really short. So I tuned in. It's funny because Destin was at that event, but he missed it because they had this weird thing when they made you walk from room to room.
So that's my top five.
and they played the trailer while people were walking. Yeah. So Destin had no idea what was going on.
That's the funniest thing. Cause I was in the war room too watching that and I was like pretty stunned. It was cool. But I was watching Destin's Twitter.
Yeah.
Because
apparently Cade's dead.
Yeah. So for everyone who doesn't know what happened at E3, PlayStation did this really artsy kind of
smaller showcase.
Yeah. A showcase for all their, like, you know, their announcements, right? And the first one was this amazingly intimate sort of like guitar driven Last of Us 2 demo where they brought you into a church and it was like all decorated and stuff. But then that was just for their first game announcement. There was another game announcement after that and a couple more after. And they'd move the audience out of that
physically
room
moved
into another room. And since there's like 300 or 400 people there.
Yeah, it took a while.
It took a while. And so a lot of them were stuck in transit, but the show keeps going, right? So Destin missed just about like maybe a good half of what happened just because he was moving from room to room.
Yeah.
And he was pissed. And the fact that he missed the thing that he was there for, the Destiny one, is so funny to me.
It's perfect. Like, quintessential
Destiny.
It was
so funny.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I remember we were in the war room and it was actually a pretty big moment as well, too, just sitting there going.
Oh, for us three.
Everyone
else in the war room was like, who is that?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Watching everybody else is like, they're looking back and I was like, is that guy important? And we're like, yeah, it's Cade.
It's Nathan Fillion.
Fillion. And you look on Twitter and you see all these like little memorial things in the Twitter.
Yeah, they had a memorial at E3.
Yeah. And then I got a chance to talk with Deej. My biggest thing was, you know, I was like, is he really dead? You're going to bring him back to life. I think that was my major concern. You're going to bring him back to life before the DLC's over. But for the most part, they've held to it. I don't see any sign of Cade coming back to life.
He's dead.
That was a pretty big one. Number two, we obviously had the big Forsaken launch debate, channeling Fran Mirabella.
One of our best episodes. I wasn't on it, but it was.
Well, it was one of the most commented episodes because we did this debate format where we did give a chance to have Andrea and Fran kind of comment about what they thought about the raid. Sean and Destin were over here, Team Elitist, what they thought about the raid. And it was really interesting because, Sean, that's when you turned heel with the Get Good. I'm going to play that for everybody now, but it's actually pretty funny.
Well, first off, I don't think you have to fix something that isn't broken.
Guess that's done.
So the solution is to get good.
There it is. So in that clip, it was one of those things where I know that you guys had both really good points. I thought, you know, in the moment, I thought that Fran was a little bit off base and Andrea as well, too, because you want to believe that this content is made for, again, what we would label hardcore. But I think the problem is you guys did come out with the elitist attitude in it, and that is what killed
people
you guys.
People keep saying, like, people keep calling me an elitist. Like, that hurts my feelings.
No, I know. Like, but that is when
that's
I
not
think
a negative thing for me. So
there you go.
Keep it going.
Sean, heel. And Dustin.
For reference, though, I would consider Andrea a casual player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. Like, I think she probably did as well, too, within the context of what she had going on that time. But she's played a lot of the game. So it was interesting to hear her friend say.
We all have a lot to do. Yeah. Everyone has a lot to do. All of us on this show and the guests who come on here, we're adults, right?
Yeah.
People think that it's our job to sit out there and play Destiny 24/7. It is not at all. Like,
Steven and I and Sean are usually up to like 2 a.m. and then we're dragging ourselves into work going.
I posted on Twitter like, I got my Dredgen title. Someone's like, go outside. And it's like, dude, I was just in Norway. Like, Japan before that, Austin before that, Edmonton before. Like, it's just,
work.
We do work. Like, a ton of us
this
do
is,
work.
Yeah. Fireteam Chat is not how we make a living.
Yeah, it's not like we play a bunch of Destiny, render our opinions, and then come in here and put them on camera. Like,
once
that is
a
not
week.
The job.
Yeah. This is the time we talk about it. I literally, like I said, between approving my visa, spending some time with my kids, I usually wait till they go to bed at 10:30 and I'm like, all right, guys, I'll be on. And then what happens is the Destiny magic kind of takes over and I say, oh, last one, and we're going to bed and it's 1:00. And then Steven's like, well, why don't we grind for the EP shoddy?
Well, I can do it. Yeah.
It's 2 a.m. It'll just take a few minutes.
Yeah. I mean,
go to bed at 5 a.m, wake up for work at 9:30.
So that's the thing. It's like people out there are like, well, I can't do the content because of X, Y, Z. And it's like, listen, I get that. And if you can't, that's fine. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't play the game when we want to because we have other life obligations, but we figure out a way sometime to do
it. A wise man once said, where there's a will, there's a way.
There you go. Steven, Destiny addict. And then I think our final one, that was probably, this is more of just a Fireteam chat one. And, I don't know how to explain this, but we're going to show a quick clip. Big shout out to Fran Mirabella. He's no longer at IGN, 18 years, but
he left because of this clip.
He left because of
no,
this.
No, I'm kidding. That's a joke.
So right now we're going to showcase what was our probably best moment of Fireteam chat in 2018.
Kind of like at the end of Infinity War, and we're like, so I had that thought. Interesting, Mark.
Look at his face.
Now, oh my God.
You see his face right there.
Yeah, he had like a little eyes up moment.
Unravels, but that, you know, he's dead.
Fran, hope everybody saw Infinity War, unlike me.
See, at this point, I still think he doesn't. He saw it, and he's just getting on my case. Yeah, I'm
starting to think. Oh, you thought he was joking.
Yeah, but then Destin goes.
At all, but in any event.
If you didn't see Infinity War by now,
it's
you're
two
not
months old, Fran.
Anyway, but yeah, like, so for me, going into it, I was actually, like, really upset about, just they gave away this major moment in the story with Cade. Destin still
was
can't get
Infinity
over
War
it.
Was Infinity War really just spoiled for you?
I guess so. I don't know. I have not
and then, at this point, I start to actually feel bad.
Wait, are you serious? But, yeah, you haven't seen Infinity War?
It makes a great moment on camera. So you'd think that in most people know better. But hey, so let's move on. But I did think
generally very good about spoilers.
Nah, it's okay.
I just
welcome to
it.
Infinity War.
It is my fault. Anyway, this is what I get for playing Warmind and stuff like that. You know.
What did you think of?
So you go into. But actually, honestly, you should. Think about it for the episode. There's people listening that have probably not seen it.
Oh
so, anyway, Cade is dead. This would be a bonus scene.
I mean, the weird thing is with that, Infinity War had been out for a couple months. We won't say the ending of the show in case you haven't seen the movie yet. It is one of those weird things, even when I was talking about, you know, the reveal here with... there's some merit to what he's saying, but you can visibly see in that moment that he is angry.
Pretty, I mean, okay. I feel like I have to defend myself after this.
All right.
You guys know me. I'm a big movie guy.
Yeah.
I am very, very good about spoilers. And I get on people if they spoil things when they think they're not spoiling things. Like, you guys know Nick Scarpino?
Yeah.
He's always like, no spoilers, but spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. I'm like, Nick, stop. Like, stop. You're killing it for everyone. And so for that, For me to be the one who ruins it in that moment, it really pains me, and I wish that hadn't happened. But to be fair, you can't work at IGN and wait 3 months to see Infinity War, the biggest movie of the year for our audience.
But guess what? He no longer does.
He quit because of that.
Yeah.
He literally told me in the exit interview, I'm quitting because Sean Finnegan ruined Avengers.
Stephen Root conducting exit interviews now.
That was pretty good. I do feel bad for him. But the funny thing was, is just in tandem with the raid and everything else and how he felt about it, you know, it was one of those things we did not get a chance to give Fran a parting gift. Mm. And Fran, we know you're out there watching. It is the holidays.
Oh my God.
And this is for you, Fran.
So maybe it's time to right some wrongs.
There we go.
See a movie.
We're making it up for you. I mean, hopefully you've had a chance to do the raid, but if not, this is for you.
I mean, we have Avengers. We have Endgame coming up in spring, right?
How ironic. Title.
We should go
of
watch
the show.
It with Fran.
We should go watch it with Fran.
We should go watch it with Fran.
Hopefully he's watched that.
What is the statute of limitations on spoilers? Can we talk about the ending of The Sixth Sense yet? Are we sure that everyone's seen it? It's from like 1995, but like, I don't know.
Oh man.
There might be people watching this who haven't seen it. We have to make sure that they're, you know, they're covered off on.
That moment was pretty good.
Lest they get spoiled for a movie they haven't seen in 20 years.
I think when movies at this scale come out, like this anticipated, 2 months, if you haven't watched it in 2 months, it's your fault.
We don't know if he's actually seen it yet.
I don't think he has.
Like, so literally, this is the reason why. Happy holidays.
Especially working at a place like IGN where, whenever I see big movies on opening day, right? But that's Friday, right? A bunch of people around here see it Thursday night or even Wednesday, right? Because they pre-open movies. So for that Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, you know what I'm doing? I'm at my desk, headphones on. Listening to music, no one's talking to me because I know that I will hear someone 10 feet away, 15 away, just like casually dropping spoilers and stuff. And it's not their fault.
Yeah.
That's my fault if like I don't take the precautions. So
I stayed
away. Sorry, Fran, but I'm also not.
Exactly. Sorry, not sorry. I stayed away from the, I actually, we just kept blinders on and stayed off the internet for the day that I remember it happening. And then once I knew that Reddit had kind of like, you know, unpopulated that. I was like, okay, now I'll go back.
Right? Take precautions.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So that's pretty much it, guys. Any last final comments for 2018?
Yeah. You're going to do these shout outs?
Yeah, you can give a couple shout outs there.
Okay. Well, I was going to shout out to the Bungie team, but it looks like you are doing that, so I'll let you do that.
Well, they have. Do you have
chill.
I don't care. Do you have
well,
names,
I guess I
though?
Should take it on now, because according to the comments, I am the shill.
You're the shill. Yeah. Do you have any names specifically, Steven?
Shout out to our entire Fireteam Chat community.
Yeah,
you guys are the reason we're doing this. If no one watched the show, we would not be doing this.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Irrelevant Boys, Lopez, Neko, Hal, Mound. Those guys do all the content with me.
Yep.
Shout out to Malky. Shout out to Destin.
Shout out to Destin.
Shout out to Destin for no reason. Just shout out to
Destin. Just shout him out. I mean, he's probably like, you know, shaking his head at this episode going, oh man, there was way too much nice things.
Seriously, shout out to the Bungie team. As much hate as those guys get, they work hard. And
absolutely.
You can't discredit hard work. And I mean, I still play every day, so clearly they got me hooked.
Magic's still there. Yeah, you?
Yeah, shout out to Skadoosh and Steve with 5 E's.
That's right.
His name's not even Steve, though.
Yeah.
It's Steve's Chris.
Name is Chris.
Oh, man.
But his in-game name
so
is
when,
Steve.
So when I play guys. With him and they say Steve, I have no idea who they're talking about.
Shout out to Brian Malkowitz, you two dudes, Teddy, obviously.
Oh,
Brand,
Teddy.
Destin,
Teddy.
Of course. Yeah, those guys are
Teddy's
killer.
Teddy's
a lot of, I wouldn't know too as much about the game if it wasn't for y'all. Shout out to the Bungie team. I met Lars at E3. Like, I was walking by, and he flagged me down.
Great
and he
dude.
Was like, Finnegan, what's up, man? And so, like, he was a super nice guy. Shout out to Deej and Cosmo for handling all the community stuff. That cannot be an easy job. In fact, I know it's not an easy job.
Oh, no.
And you guys handle it with a lot of grace, which I think is cool. Side note, Greg Miller tweeted out a really interesting thread on Twitter today about Spider-Man PS4 because they put the Raimi suit in there.
Oh, yeah. I heard.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys follow that debacle, but it's a really interesting thread, and it kind of has to do with how devs field audience feedback, which is something that, you know, I think the Bungie team is probably the most skilled at in this whole industry. So it's a really interesting thread. Go read that. But yeah, shout out to those guys. And again, thanks to the audience for me. Like, it's really awesome to be on the show. I love coming on the show to talk Destiny with you guys.
Yeah.
And I read the comments, and sometimes they irk me, but most of the time they're really, really good. And so thank you for being there, and thank you for watching this whole year.
You play into it. You play into it. I know you know that.
Someone's got to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Destin kind of does, too. I do want to say shout-out to the Bungie team as well. Obviously, Steve Cotton, Scott Taylor, Lars as well. They were on a lot of those PR trips. You know, we saw them at Gamescom, E3, and all that other stuff. Even communicating on Twitter, you know, especially when Forsaken was about to drop, a lot of good details they had for us as the content was getting released. And Deej as well, too. Cosmo, DMG, all those guys. Thanks so much. I appreciate what you guys do. Also, a special thank you to all the guests we've had this year. Miss Team KK, Datto, just to name a few who stopped by. And then I think to all the people in the comments, thank you so much. We do this weekly because we do enjoy playing the game, and we know that you guys enjoy it too. You might enjoy hating on it or hate that you love it. We appreciate everybody engaging with us on social media, on IGN.com, as well as YouTube Fireteam chat section. It's been really good, and thank you for watching the show week after week and talking Destiny with us in 2018. And obviously, Fran Mirabella, we know you're out there. Copy of Infinity Wars coming your way. Check it out. And that's it for 2018, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. And until 2019, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.